The title of this message is Do You Love God? Do you love God? Before we get started, I want to start out with open up again with a prayer. Father, I just ask you to be with me. Lord, I just want you to come to me as I'm giving this message. Lord, just speak through your spirit to me. Let me hear your words just like I hear them as you speak to me in my time of preparation for this sermon. Lord, I want your words to go out through my mouth. Lord, this is your sermon, not my sermon. This is your message, not my message. And I want to thank you again, Lord. I'd ask you, the Holy Spirit, to be with each and everybody out here. Lord, if there's any conviction that needs to take place in their lives, Lord, let the Holy Spirit convict them. That's His job. Lord, if they need to be convinced of anything, Lord, let the Holy Spirit convince them. That's His job. It's not my job. My job is to give your message the way you gave it to me. And Lord, your spirit does the rest. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Again, the title to my sermon this morning is Do You Love God? And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask that question. Do you love God? Raise your hand if you love God. Now, you do realize sometimes we throw that word around pretty loosely. I hear that word a lot, and sometimes I have to stop and think, well, does that person really love me the way they're saying they love me? Sometimes when I use it, do I mean what I'm saying? Do you ever stop and just think about that word love and what that love what that means? Jesus Christ showed us what it meant when He died on the cross for us. See, He said He loved us and He meant it. Amen? How do you know He loved you? Because He showed it through His actions, what He did that day on the cross. Are you willing to show how much you love Jesus Christ? Do you love Him that much? Because we're going to ask you a few questions. You have to look at your own life, just like I had to look at myself as He asked me these questions this morning. You had to look at your own self. Do you love Him this much? Have you been loving Him this much? Are you willing to love Him this much? Amen. First question. How much do you love Him? Just think about yourself. I just spoke about how Jesus showed us His love for us. What have you been doing for God to show Him that you love Him? That you truly care about Him? You know, we use this word, I love the Lord. It's easy to do on Sunday morning, right? Especially when the music's going. It just puts you in that worshiping mood where we should be all week long on a regular basis. We should be before our Lord in some type of a worship, whether it's walking in obedience to His word or whatever. How much do you love Him? We're going to open up with some scripture. If you turn in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Next question. And this is God speaking to you. Do you love me enough to take the time to get to know me. In your busy work week, do you take the time to get to know him? Next question. Do you love me enough to read and study my word? Do you know how much time and effort I put in, and this is God talking, to my word? Do you know how much I loved you? That I spent so much time dealing with so many people writing my word? Why? Before you. Because I love you that much. Do you love me enough now to take a little time out of your busy schedule to read and study, meditate, and apply my word to your life? Do you love me that much? And I think I just answered some other question. Do you love me enough to apply it to your life? Won't you get into his word, if you went that far and you read it and you studied and you meditated on it and you know what it says, do you love me enough to actually put it into action? Do you love me that much? You'd be surprised how many people don't. Christians sitting in church singing hallelujah to the Lord, but they don't read his word. Do you love me that much? Mary knew how important it was to listen to what Jesus had to say. See, the Bible is full of so many great things. The Bible tells you how to get to heaven here. If you read it, you'll understand how to get there. And I hope everybody in here knows that way. It tells me how I can get healing through my body. It shows me how I can walk through situations that otherwise I couldn't walk through. Do you love him enough to find out how to do that? It tells me how I can be a better husband, a better father, better pastor, better employee, better friend. But you got to read it. It's all in here. I guarantee you. How do I know? Because I read it. I know what's in here. Mary didn't let anything get in her way. She didn't let her sister, her family members, she didn't let her family get in her way. She didn't let her work pull her away from the Lord Jesus that day. Amen? And she didn't let the details of life pull her aside. You know, sometimes we say we love God a great deal. And on Sunday morning, we're ready to worship him. But sometimes a friend can come in the building that you wasn't expecting to come in. Do you continue worshiping God the same way? Maybe they didn't know you as a Christian. Do you continue in that worship the same way as if that person hadn't walked into the building? Do you love me enough to worship and praise me no matter who's looking at you? Whether it be a friend or a member of your family or somebody you work with? Do you love me that much? Mary didn't let any of these things bother her. See, she knew how important it was that she sit at the feet of Jesus. See, we have this opportunity every day of our life to sit at Jesus' feet. See, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's Jesus living in us. In the person of the Holy Spirit. We have an opportunity to sit at His feet all day. Oh, but I got to go to work. He can go with you. Amen. There's no excuses why you can't sit at the feet of Jesus on a regular basis, all the time. Well, you can't be in the presence of God all the time. Yes, you can. You may not be in worship mode, but you can be in His presence at all times because He's with you all the time. Do you love me enough to keep me in your mind, in your thoughts, in your heart? Do you love me that much? Do you? Mary did. Martha loved Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But she tried to show her love by working. Now, don't get me wrong. There's work that Christians have to do. We all have to work. We got things we got to do. But that's not the most important thing to Jesus. It's not what you can do for Him. It's what He can do for you. Amen? See, Jesus can change your life. He can pull all the bad stuff out of you and put all good new stuff in you. He can make you really know how to love somebody. Amen? How do I know that? Because He's done that to me. He's done that to me. And I know He's done it to other people in this room. I've watched it. He can change a person's heart. If you love Him. And you want Him to. And you go after Him. You seek Him. See, we got to. God chases us till He finds us. He gets us into His church. He puts His word in front of us. He does everything He can do to get us to read His word and turn to Him. If we'll do that, if we'll read and believe, and we start caring for our Lord the way we should, if we really love Him, He'll change us and make new people out of us. Amen? Do you love Him that much? You know, I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on outside these doors. There's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of people that we have to get around that they're going to be pulling us from one side to the other side. They're going to try to pull us off course. Mary didn't let that happen. And neither should we. See, if we get in the habit of staying in the presence of the Lord, and no matter where we go, we take the Lord with us, that won't happen. That won't happen. Amen? Do you love God enough to follow His Son? You know, when you ask Jesus to come into your life and you ask Him to become your Savior, you were also asking Him to become your Lord. See, Savior and Lord goes together. He can't be your Savior right then your Lord. He's both. Amen? What you was doing at that moment, if you've had this real experience of being saved, well, why do you say that, Pastor? All you got to do is say this prayer that the preacher tells you to say, and we believe here at this church you have been saved. Not necessarily. That don't always come through. Just saying some words, like the words themselves are magical. Either you've been dealt with by the Holy Spirit or you have not been dealt with by the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads you to the altar. It's not what the preacher asked you to say. If it didn't start with the Holy Spirit working in your life before you come in, and I've said this before, before you come through them doors, if you come in here half-hearted and you just heard the preacher say, come up and say these words, and we believe here at this church, you'll be saved. And you hadn't been dealt with about your sin, you wasn't convinced you are a sinner, you didn't know that you was walking a life headed to hell, You didn't realize you needed a different direction? You come up here just simply because a man told you to say this prayer and we believe at this church you'll be saved? In other words, you didn't really mean what you said. That's like an ace card in a gambling match, game you're playing. True salvation, the Holy Spirit's already took charge. He's already been dealing with you. He's led you to this church. He's talked to the preacher that gave the message that morning. The word went out. He invited you to this altar. He has convicted you of your sins. And it's either a true confession of your sins, you're ready to turn from those sins and walk away, or you're not. If it's a true salvation, you will be ready to turn away from them sins. You may not know how. You may not be strong enough. But that's why you come to the altar. All he asks you to do is confess them. At that time, you are asking him for a new life. You are asking him for a new direction, a new path to start walking down. Because the old path you know is wrong. You come to this place in your life, or you didn't. Each one of you got to check this out. Because there's too many people sitting in our churches that think they belong to Jesus Christ and hadn't got a clue what they're talking about. Why? Because they listened to a man and not the Holy Spirit. You come to a place in your life, you knew you couldn't go any farther on your own. You knew where you was headed, and you needed help. You invited Jesus Christ into your life, confessed your sins, and you asked him for help right then on this spot. And what happened, if it was a true confession, and only Jesus Christ knows it, only God knows this. I can't tell you where you did or not. But at that moment, he sent you the helper. His name is the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Jesus living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now you have plenty of power inside you to turn away from any sin that's in your life right now. If you turn to that power and ask him to help you. So you can sit up here and make any excuse you want to about sinning. Can't help it. I can't. Yes, you can. You have the power inside you if you are a born-again Christian. You have the Holy Spirit, the one that raised Jesus from the dead, the one that took Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He got him through it all. You have him inside you. You can do anything he tells you to do. But you've got to be willing. You've got to love him enough to do that. Do you love him that much? I'm not saying you won't have a hard time of it. I have a hard time of it. I'm not sitting here telling you that you won't make mistakes from time to time. You will. But Jesus took care of that part when he died on the cross. Now all we got to do is keep moving with him, turning from our sins, and walking down the path he's put us on. See, at the time you received the Holy Spirit in your life, that's when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. See, this new path we're on it with Jesus Christ. We're toting our cross. Well, he's already toted the cross. See, as we tote our cross, does he just leave us out there and when it gets all heavy and we start? No, we don't. He's there with us the whole time. When that cross starts getting heavy for me, Jesus, take it off my shoulder. He'll give me time to rest before he puts it back down. See, now we got a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, like Mary, she knew how important it was to be in his presence, to have a person, to know him personally, to hear his word personally. She knew that. Do you know how important it is? Do you have this kind of relationship with him? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that cross can get awful heavy for you. If you don't know how to turn to him and ask him for help when you need help, that cross can get awful heavy for you. If you spend all your time so busy like Martha, working for Jesus, but never spending time with Jesus. That cross is going to get awful heavy for you. Amen? If you haven't got this closeness, if you've allowed everything to come between you and the Lord, are you following Him? Are you really on that path that He's walking down? If you allow sin to come between you and the Lord, are you following Him? Now, I know we all sin from time to time. Tim said it great, I think it's last week in the sermon. We struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. But you're the pastor. Yeah, and I struggle with sin. I have the same temptations you do. There's plenty of them out there. But I don't let them ruin my life. See, when that comes in, if it's something that's very hard on me, I turn to Jesus. See, He's there. I'm on the path to Jesus. He's with me. I'm following Him. You remember? You got to stay close to Him. You can't be separated by the sin. Because the farther away you get from the sin, the less you'll be able to hear Him, if you can hear Him at all. And that's a dangerous place to be. You see, the Lord's been dealing with me lately about the word choice. Choice. I used to be a pastor that would tell you, once saved, always saved. Me and my wife's had many conversations about this. Once saved, always saved. And I still believe, if you're truly saved, and you choose to remain in His presence, if you choose to follow Him, if you choose to walk with Him, nothing in this world can separate you from Him. Nothing. The devil can't. There's a list of things in the Bible that tells you you'll never be separated from God. But I also now have to go a little bit farther than that. Nothing but my choice. My choice. You can't make me choose to walk away. No one else can make me choose to walk away, but I can choose to walk away. Amen? So are you following Jesus Christ this morning? Are you following somebody else that you shouldn't be following? If you're walking in sin, I'm talking about daily living in sin. I could give you some examples. Living with somebody without being married. Is that in the Bible? That's okay? No, it's not. What is that? It's sin. Do you continue to, once you've been told that, are you continuing to walk in that sin? Then you're choosing to walk away from God. You're not no longer on the path with God. You're walking down a different pathway. Amen? So you got to make choices. It's not always easy. You got to choose who you want to follow, who you want to serve, who you want to be with. There's many things in this Bible that God tells you not to do. Your choice. Do them or not do them. Follow me or follow the devil. And that's exactly what you do when you stop following God. You start following Satan. And if you spend the rest of your life walking with Satan, holding his hands, doing what he asks you to do, then you will live eternity with him. Your choice. Not God's choice. He gives you a choice. He will help you do that. If you choose God, if you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will be beside you the whole way. Just because you struggle with sin, that's not going to keep you out of heaven. It's when you say, okay, Lord, I'd rather sin than walk with you. Now you're making a choice. Now, where that place is in life, how hard it is to get there, I can't even imagine being there. Because I walk with God. I can't even imagine how anything could turn me away from that. But there are scriptures in the Bible that you can't deny. It's there. There is that question, and the only way I can say you lose it is you choose to walk the other way. Your own choice. Do you love me enough to walk with me? Do you love me enough to follow me? Do you love me enough to go through a little misery every now and then with your cross? He said, if you love me that much, I'll stand beside you. I'll hold you up. I'll bear your burdens. I'll help you through hard times. I'll move mountains before you. I'll turn your situations around like you ain't never seen them being turned around before. I'll stick to you like glue and will never leave you. The only way I'll leave you is you push me away. You can push God away. Amen? So God, again, wants to ask you this question. Do you love him? Do you love him? Are you willing to walk with him? Are you willing to take time to spend with him each and every day of your life? Are you willing to get into his word and find out? See, this is a love letter. He wrote it to each and every one of us in here. He's telling us how much he loves us. And he proved it when he died on the cross. Now it's time for us to prove how much we love him. Amen? I'm not telling you it's not going to be hard, but you know, he gave us a family here that helped us. He's not only going to be with us, guiding us through our daily life. See, when we have this relationship I'm talking to, and you know who he is, and you know what his word says, he's there to help you all week long, strengthen you. And I've told you some other things he's done. But he also gave you a family that we can get with each other every Sunday morning. I don't think it should stop Sunday morning. I think we got a church service on Sunday night. We got a men's class on Monday night. We got a women's class on Monday morning. A family should be getting together on a regular basis. There's times where we can spend with each other that don't involve church. And that's what our true family will do. And that's what this church, I've seen happening in this church a lot of times. We get together. There's some of you that I've talked to outside this church, I've visited, I've prayed with, I've seen hard times with you, I've went through hard times with you, you prayed for me. That's what we're for, to help each other get through this. Amen? I had some other scriptures here, now we'll go through some of them. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. Then when people escape from the wicked ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up with sin and become its slave again, they are worse off than before. See, this tells me I can come to know who Jesus Christ is and believe what his word says. I can try to clean my act up. But this says that I can get messed up in sin again. And it says right here that I'd be worse off than I was before I started. It goes on, it says, it would be better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and then reject the holy commandments that were given to them. They make these proverbs come true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a washed pig returns to the mud. See, we don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have the Holy Spirit living in us. If we don't get the Word of God in us, if he don't come inside of us and take the place, all the junk we had in, and let's read another one. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and clean. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. See, if you don't continue, go ahead and get the Holy Spirit in you. Let Him fill you. Get His Word in you. If you're not a real saved person, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you can work hard to become a Christian. A lot of people in church, that's what they're doing. They're working hard to be a Christian. They believe the Word is correct. They believe it's good. But they never really thought they was bad enough they needed forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of people think, you know, I'm not a bad person. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't got, the Bible tells you, if you hadn't got the Spirit in you, you're not saved. And see, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, it also tells you, He will give you the desires to live your life the way you're supposed to. He goes on to say, the sin nature's still there. You will struggle. We do struggle. Amen? Romans 6, 15 and 16 says, so since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Paul says, without a doubt, no. That's his next word. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Amen? Verse 23 in that same chapter says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm going to ask you again, do you love Him enough to have a relationship with Him, to get to know Him on a daily basis? I'm not talking about a part-time relationship. I'm not talking about a Sunday morning relationship. Do you rely on Him? Do you trust Him? See, somebody you love and somebody you want to think you can trust Him, He's the only one you know for sure you can trust. He's the only one. We can't even fully trust each other because we're human. We can make mistakes. I'm not saying that we wouldn't really want to do good for each other, but sometimes we mess up. I don't know if you've ever known another Christian to mess up, but we do mess up. He don't. See, if you have this relationship I'm talking about with you, you can trust Him. He will do everything He says in that book if you'll read the book. But you got to get in the book, you got to stay in the book, and you got to learn the book. Amen? Would you all stand? Would you go ahead and get ready for your song? We're going to have one more song before we actually leave. You know, you may have been a Christian for a long time. You may actually belong to God. I'm not hoping everybody in here does. But you haven't really known what a relationship with Him is about. You can start that relationship with Him this morning. See, you can come and you can ask Him to show you, lead you in a relationship with Him. You got to choose that. He won't force you to come to Him.